The origin of language. So we started with the origin of language and more closely to the created mystery that creates the will to unravel the truth. The quest for the origin of language was at some time so popular that in 1769 the Berlin Academy of Sciences offered a prize for essays concerning the topic. Johann Gottfried Herder entered the competition with his essay Abhandlung über den Ursprung der Sprache. Though I am not interested in the answer to this question whatsoever, I found Herder's essay extremely enlightening because of his description on the origin of a great number of concepts that have later been so easily adopted by linguistics. As it seems, he too remarked that the language of individuals does not serve language in general, but not so much because the individual lacks freedom. In Herder's work, the servitude is the result of the economy of language. As he writes, in German it says, Erfindet jedes für sich allein, so wird unnütze Mühe ins Unendliche verdoppelt und der erfindende Verstand seines bestes Preises beraubt zu wachsen. Translation: if everybody would invent for himself only, then the effort would be endlessly pluralized and the inventing intellect would lose or at best be robbed by its capacity to grow. So how can it be possible that in this day and age everybody is so absolutely sure of the social dependence of individual, while the practical imperative of language as a pre-invention seemed so obvious in Herder's time? First of all, it is clear that this individual dependence cannot be grasped. Not only are isolated individual in all linguistics examples nothing more than imaginary thought constructions, they even superseded the mere thought of a concept. In fact, they are created bodies to which an entire linguistic theory refers to, as if they truly are existing entities. This does not tell us much about the origin of language, nor of the capacities of individuals. It does tell us something about the capacities of individuals like Herder and you yourself to create new bodies in language. Make no mistake, this is truly important. You see, for language to be modified by individual, there is no need nor necessity to modify phonemes. It is only necessary to create new material things to serve as a point of reverence for a new concept. It is even unimportant whether these things are material or not. The mere suggestion of their existence is quite enough to create a new name or a new concept. It is part of the fictional capacity of human beings. Movies in these modern times have almost accomplished those things which linguists expected to be impossible in your times. For instance, we have now blobs, fearful bubblegum-like monsters that eat entire cities whilst projected on the silver screen. Indeed, it is condoned by the public, but I assure you it must have sprouted from the brain of a probably bored scriptwriter, so bored that modifying language for the sake of Blob and his offspring, the son of Blob, must have seemed just as creative as creating the isolated individual that remains untouched by time or things. The Blob does not speak back from the silver screen. The isolated individual cannot speak back from the realms of linguistics, and this nameless space is also the result from the theories on the origin of language. One of the most fascinating examples of this is the growth of phonetic reverence and dominance within linguistic studies. But you gave it an inferior position and call this to be the question of the vocal apparatus that takes secondary place, and you ground this lack of importance as the result of the arbitrariness of the sign. Sapir feels that the overwhelming anthropological material shows that there is a preference for the vocal apparatus as a means of language. In theories on the origin of language, this focal apparatus is so crucial that it seems unlikely, if not fully blind, not to take it into account as a co-constructive of the arbitrary nature of the sign. The focal apparatus in linguistics is so crucial to concepts that implicate model, structure, order, difference, sequence, time, rationality, and such. Between the sound and the visual concept, the signifier and the signified are born. Herder created a beautiful explanation for the importance of the vocal apparatus on account of the capacity it touched to hearing, and he refers in his views to yet another keystone of linguistics, which is the unity of the sensorium.